Fills up our plates. Papa's saying grace.
This is Shelley Tomlinson, belle of all things Southern, and author of the newly released storytelling cookbook, Hungry as a Mighty Fine Sauce. And you're listening to All Things Southern Live on KMLB, News Talk 105.7 FM and 540 AM. Let's do this thing.
Louisiana living, sweet as sugar.
Oh, we had some nice Louisiana living this weekend. It was a beautiful resurrection week and resurrection. Whoa, that one ain't wanting to get out. Let's try that again, shall we? Resurrection weekend and Sunday at All Things Southern's homestead yesterday. How about yourself, JR?
It was a great day yesterday.
Beautiful. Yes. Did you make it to the good Lord's house?
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm going to put you on the spot. Okay, yeah, you did.
Went to church and had a little lunch. Wasn't nothing to do about Easter, though. We had Mexican food, but hey.
Hey. If it worked for y'all, JR, it worked.
Yeah, that's right.
I did cooking all weekend. I did some heavy cooking. Did some heavy cleaning and lifting, trying to help my son and daughter-in-law are finally at that exciting point where they're moving into their new home.
That's right.
And yeah. They've been building that thing for a while now as home construction goes. But they're about ready to move in, JR. They're building right there on our farm.
You That's
know, exciting. We live inside town in Lake Providence on the lake. Our farm is outside town, and they're building on the farm.
How many acres do y'all have?
Oh, a couple thousand plus.
Oh, my goodness.
So you what is it now, guys? They'll have to tell me.
You have plenty of room.
Yeah, there's plenty of room out there.
Okay, wonderful.
They're excited, and I'm very excited for them. But, you know, it gets down to that. It's all hands on deck. Jessica Ann and her husband, Patrick, and the two grand boys of Texas were in for Easter, and their hands were on deck, too, lifting and cleaning and, you know, carrying and moving. So we're all excited for them. And then after that, oh, good gracious, the fun began. Name it, we did it. We flew kites. We went fishing. We caught frogs. We climbed trees. And by we, I do mean we, JR.
You climbed a tree?
Yes, I did. Yes, with my grandsons who were looking at me like, okay, you know what? I love you. I didn't know, okay, I didn't know grandmothers climbed trees. I love you all over again. We had crawfish bowl and
we did that this weekend
eggs.
Too.
Y'all did that too? Mm-hmm. Y'all get some good crawfish? We did.
Yes, they were very good.
Ooh,
and we had a fish fry at the same time.
Ooh, that works for me.
It was like, you know, double goodness there going on.
Absolutely. Oh, you can't.
And I tried
to
eat 20 pounds, but I didn't succeed.
But that was your goal.
That was my goal.
It was a worthy goal.
Folks were picking on me. I thought you could eat 20 pounds. I said, well, I tried.
Well, it was a worthy goal. You shot for it. Yeah.
Exactly.
We had, I don't remember how many pounds we bought for that big crowd at my house, but it was more than a few. Let me assure you.
You know, crawfish in Louisiana, I guess if you're from Louisiana, you just have to eat crawfish. You cannot eat crawfish.
Right. I think it should be a rule.
I really think it should be a rule. Yeah.
Now, surprisingly, my parents, who were there, you know, enjoying all the festivities as well, I had something else prepared for them because longtime Louisiana natives, they don't like crawfish.
Is that right? Wow. Well,
yeah, they look at us like, ugh, you know, that look you get generally from people outside of here that they don't like it.
Yeah.
But we did, and the kids put some away, and we put away potatoes and mushrooms with it. Oh, and in case my sister Cindy is watching this and my nephew Rusty up in Colorado, I did not enjoy it. Mm-mm. Did not enjoy it, Cindy. I promised her that I would not enjoy it. And I didn't, Cindy.
And you didn't?
No.
One thing I don't enjoy about crawfish is, you know, after you peel them so many times, your fingers get kind of sore, you know.
Well, do y'all ever use gloves? We buy those cheapy rubber gloves for the people whose fingertips are allergic to the... sometimes it's an allergy issue.
An allergy thing,
you know,
yeah.
Irritation with your fingers. And so I have a son-in-law that can put away his fair share, but he does need the gloves because his fingers will actually swell up.
I've used them before because I don't, you know, need to get spices in my eyes accidentally or something like that.
Yeah.
But this weekend I did not use gloves because we didn't have any gloves.
See, that's why you didn't make your 20-pound limit.
Exactly. That's it. That's
mystery
it right there.
Mystery solved.
I got too sore. I had to quit.
Mystery solved. I have so thoroughly enjoyed looking through Facebook and seeing all the pictures of the kids Easter egg hunting and the family celebrating, and it's just been fun for me. You know, Facebook is what you make it.
Oh, sure.
What I always say. It's a tool for how you choose to use it, and I don't even really want to give any airtime to, you know, what's happened over the weekend from the very, very horrible, terrible way that someone has used Facebook. But, you know, it's like anything else. It's a tool, and you can use it for the good. So here's a heads up going into this first break, JR.
Yes.
Tomorrow is tax day. The day your 1040s are due. No,
oh,
it's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday. Oh, because of the holiday, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
Friday.
Yeah, I reckon. I suppose so.
Okay.
I was reading. I have a few little stats for you may find interesting. Here are the biggest fears on tax day. Are you ready?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so 32% of filers are worried about identity theft. Just under 30% are worried about committing a math error. 20% are worried they won't have enough money to pay their taxes. And 18% are worried about being audited.
Oh, yes.
I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm not worried about being audited. Does that mean you're going to get audited? Is that what happens?
You know, maybe not. I don't know. I've never been audited myself.
I don't know. I'm thinking if I ever got audited, like, you know, I think the agent would just, like, look at all his paperwork and look at me and think, okay, we can settle this. How much money you got in your purse?
Yeah. I'll give you a pass.
How much money you got over there? How much cash you got on you? And that would probably be the end of it. But don't audit me. I don't have time for it, but I ain't worried about it. I'm not one of those 18%. And then this is fun. Guess what tomorrow is? We're kind of on the radio the wrong day, maybe sort of, JR, because tomorrow is amateur radio day.
Oh. Yeah, that would fit quite nicely with the program.
It would. Yeah, we're going to grow up and be professional radio people one day. JR tries. He really knows the ropes around here, but he has to deal with yours truly.
Well,
keeping me between the ditches. And that's hard.
Hey, tomorrow's Mountain Man's show day, though, and that will qualify for his program.
Oh,
kinda.
We could call him an amateur radio show, too, couldn't we?
Yeah. I think
I haven't been on Mountain Man's show in a while. You tell him I said hello.
I will do it. Next time you come into town, come up here on a Tuesday and come on the show.
I need to do that. And JR, he hasn't been on All Things Southern lately either.
Oh,
remind him of that. Wander in, and he's always welcome.
I will do that.
To be on All Things Southern Live. All right, we're going to get to this first break. And when we get back, I've got a story for y'all. And I don't know, here's a clue.
Indians or something.
Very good job.
Shelly here, Belle of All Things Southern. Y'all know I love Dixieland.
All right, when this thing loads up, I'm going to talk to you Facebook people during this break. Let me see. My internet's moving really slowly. It's my cousin Michelle. Hello, Michelle. I'm so glad that you're tuned in tonight. I love you. And Shauna Tim Boyd, friends with, howdy, Shelly, from Shauna. I don't know you, Shauna, I don't think. But hi, Shauna, I'm so glad that you're with us tonight. And Joy Taylor, hello, beautiful girl. I thank you for that comment. I love you right back. Rena Tinker says, hello, Shelly and JR. Yes, not just Shelly. So hello back from JR. Okay, let me see. I could click through her profile and see if she's married. Yeah, JR is a good man, and I'm trying to find him a woman.
Write your name down and do some investigating.
Okay,
time.
Rena, I'm going to investigate you and see if you are married. Maybe she'll answer right here. If you are not married and you're in the right age bracket, I've got a catch for you.
Just
this
put a number.
This man is sweet inside. Oh, just put a number. JR said just put a number. Put a number down there.
I'm not too picky. I don't have very high... Well, I have high standards.
Oh, yeah, you have high standards, but.
Yeah, maybe I need to be quiet because I might be crawfishing here.
Oh, speaking of crawfish, I love that. Oh, Aunt Marlita's online. Hey, Aunt Marlita and Pedro Griffin. Well, hello, Pedro. Good to see you. Yo, I can't get my little thing to hit like anymore. Okay, there it went. There it went. I'm going to have to go back live now, so I can't talk to y'all right now. But I'll talk to y'all at the end of the hour. Y'all stay with me. Have fun. And leave your comments and hit share. And let's all have a party. I got to let that music kind of leave me a little bit. I like it.
It's good Monday music.
It is. I like that. It makes me happy. Like these beautiful spring afternoons. I mean, we have had some beautiful weather. It really has
been nice
and pretty. And, you know, my mind starts thinking about yesteryear and all those things that we did when the spring afternoons were getting so long back on Bull Run Road. And my sisters and I had extra time to play.
Yes.
You know, hours and hours.
Is it true that back then food tasted better than it does now? Like some kinds of food, like Oreos and things like that. I just saw that on Facebook earlier, and I was like, was it really true?
I think that's people just remembering through rose-colored glasses.
Oh, okay.
I think Oreos have always been Oreos.
They've always tasted the same.
But hey, Facebook people, correct me if I'm wrong.
Got me to wondering. I was like, really?
JR tries to stump me with these questions. He really does. But I don't know, JR. Now, I thought you were referring to actual, like, produce and that type of thing. That is what they may have been. If you had read that a little closer, they may have been talking about, like, actual produce, because now it has some, it can be, depending on where you buy it, injected with so many preservatives to make that red apple look red and that green apple look green. That, you know, so that it can travel all the way across the country and stay on a grocery shelf for, you know, a month. So that you still get it and you think, oh, a pretty red apple.
Right.
But it's only red because it's been artificially encouraged to be red.
Oh.
And the taste is not the same as picking it off the tree. So,
right.
I don't know if I'm guessing. Wait, my phone is saying something.
It's saying.
Okay. I got it, phone. Don't tell me those things right in the middle of the show. So if I had to guess that, maybe. What you read about.
Okay. I didn't read that. I just read the headlines.
I didn't read into it. That's me. I'm always skimming headlines.
I'm like, yeah,
and
headlines.
You know, our Facebook audience and our radio audience, they're always really good about phoning in and telling us if we're wrong or which way we went wrong, because we're wrong quite often. But they'll tell us if we went wrong. But anyway, back to those long afternoons, JR.
Yeah.
We had fun. We would play Chase Don't Touch the Ground under Papa's equipment shed.
Oh, boy.
Which was as dangerous as it
sounds. That's pretty dangerous. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you jumped from the tractor to the combine and from the combine to the trailer. Oh. And, you know, you just did not touch the ground, exactly as the name implies, while the person was following you. And you were trying to get away from that person. So that was always fun. And then we reenacted battle scenes. That was one of our favorite things to do outside between the Cowboys and the Indians.
Right. Got to play Cowboys and Indians.
I mean,
and stuff
we
like
were big on that. We would get our horses were Papa's butane tanks. Couldn't think of the word. His butane tanks.
Right.
And we would climb up on those. They make great horses.
Good horses, yeah.
I don't know if that Cowboy and Indian mention is politically correct anymore. I don't care either. But I don't know if that's politically correct. But if it is, today's story is also going to be politically correct. So those of you driving down the road and you're like really sensitive to politically correct things, brace yourself. Okay? But this story just came to me and I got to tell it. I got this one from a couple of new friends in Southern Georgia when I was up there speaking a month or so ago. We're going to call them Jane and Joe.
Okay.
Now, it happened that somehow, by hook or crook, Jane had managed to get Joe to the dermatologist to check for possible skin cancers that she was concerned about. Now, the only way Jane had convinced Joe to make the appointment was that she agreed to accompany him and undergo an exam at the same time. That's how she got her husband, Joe, there. Well,
okay.
That's also how they found themselves sitting in a little room dressed in nothing but thin matching gowns with, you know, the kind with those charming back slits down the backsides. Mm-hmm. Jane was perched in chair number two alongside Joe, who was like teetering on the edge of the examining table. And when the doctor came in to introduce himself, Joe's in the process of trying to keep everything, you know, under wraps.
Right.
And the doctor came in and he began examining Joe. He, you know, his face, his ears, his shoulders, legs, you get the point, folks.
Right.
Fill in the blanks. All while trying to make breezy small talk. You saw what I did there, right?
I saw that.
Breezy small talk.
Yes.
That's right, folks. Okay, so as the doctor turned his attention to Joe's backside and began examining his backside, fill in the blanks, he mentioned that Joe's skin was somewhat red. And so he asked Joe, he said, "Have you been in the sun lately?" Now, Joe had been working in the garden jail, but from what I understand, Joe was also, or is also, quite proud of his Indian heritage.
Oh.
So his response kind of followed that line, and he told the good doctor, he said, "Well, actually, I am part Indian." And he said, you know, with quite a sense of, you know, pride in his voice. He said, "I'm part Indian." And the doctor said, "Is that right?" And then to Jane's great enjoyment, y'all, the doctor patted her man on the backside, and he remarked, "I think I found the part that's not." Oh, we throwing it back to Tim McGraw and Indian Outlaw.
I'm an Indian outlaw, half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. Oh, she's a one of a kind. All my friends call me Bear Claw. The village chieftain is my pawpaw. He gets his orders from my mama. She makes him walk the line. You can find me in my wigwam. I'll be beating on my tom-tom. Pull out the pipe and smoke you some. And pass it around. Cause I'm an Indian outlaw. Half Cherokee and Choctaw. My baby, she's a Chippewa. She's a one of a kind.
I like it, JR. I'm liking that song.
You got a little fiddle in there.
Yeah, I love that fiddle.
Yeah.
I did a little bit of chicka-wall-wall.
Yeah.
I got a little bit of singing in there.
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. Hey, my laptop went off. I cannot tell what these people are saying. I cannot tell what y'all are saying. My laptop went off.
Did it die? What did it do?
I don't know what it did. I hope I found the cord. But that's okay. Okay, it's back on. I have issues. Let's see, before we go away completely into this next break, which gets here so quickly, and I want to leave y'all the full 15 minutes for this author today, J.R., I read this book, One Gulp, the best book. You know, I don't bring just any book to our listening audience. It has to be a good book. This novel, keep you up at night. It's called A Fragile Hope by Cynthia Ruchti.
Okay.
OJR,
we'll
another author that we don't know their name really well. Ruchti, I think it sounds like it. Okay, maybe she'll be really nice and she'll tell us how to pronounce her name.
Yeah.
Without getting upset with us.
Probably some kind of exotic name.
Great book right here.
Yeah.
I cannot wait to talk to her about it. I hope that I give her a great interview, so y'all say a prayer for me, because I hope that I can and do it justice, because it's that good. It really is. So I think, JR, I will give you one more little piece of news that you can lose.
All right.
You know, that's what we call our news here.
You just scared me. I thought you said you were going to give me a quiz or something, and I'm like, no, don't, please.
I could quiz you.
I don't like quizzes.
You want to be quizzed?
No.
Okay. So here's a little something for you.
What's that?
Emma Moreno has died at the age of 117. 117, Joe.
Wow.
She was an Italian woman who was believed to be the oldest person on earth and the last person that was born in the 1800s.
Wow, that's interesting.
Wow, can you even imagine the changes that she saw in her lifetime? This is interesting. She credited her long life to ending her abusive marriage. Good plan. Mm. And a regular diet of raw eggs and cookies.
That didn't sound too appetizing.
Raw eggs and
raw
cookies.
Raw eggs and cookies.
I'm all down with the cookie part, but I'd like to leave her. She and John Travolta. Who was the guy? Oh, you know, Rocky. Sylvester.
Yes. Sylvester Stallone.
He's big on raw eggs. I have to leave the raw egg thing with she and Sylvester. I don't know.
I mean, maybe it works.
I think when you hit 117, I don't think that you can kind of like attribute it to any one thing. I think it's just.
Yeah, because you see in the papers all the time, the folks that are, you know, past 100 and say, well, how do you live this long? And they go, well, I drink like, you know, a Coca-Cola every day.
Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. Or they'll say, well, I think it's because, you know, I have, you know, too much coffee. I drink six cups of coffee a day. Or, you know, all the things that people say aren't good for us is the point we're trying to make.
Exactly.
They'll say that that's what they do. So
right.
I don't think that's what it is. But we're going to get to this break early here in just a moment, folks, so that we can visit with our author. Let me give y'all one more piece of news that we can lose. I found something, and then we'll leave, okay? So here we go. Water bottles. A new study says reusable water bottles could be more germy than toilet seats. Ah, what? Scientists looked at water bottles used by athletes that had been washed out in a week, and they said, they said there was so much bacteria built up in the bottles that it was the equivalent to licking a toilet seat. People. Have you ever noticed that when scientists want us to be disgusted by something, they compare it to licking a toilet seat? Who licks toilet seats out there? How do they know that it is like licking a toilet seat? Are there special scientists whose job it is to lick toilet seats?
That's scary.
And if so, I don't want that job.
That's worse than the raw egg statement.
That's very much worse, JR. I cannot even deal with that. But every time they say, you know, like our cell phone has more germs on it than using it is like licking a toilet seat. You know, the TV remote in the hotel is like licking a toilet seat. People! Whoever it is out there licking toilet seats, I know I'm getting a little forceful here, but I'm going to have to ask y'all to stop. I'm going to have to ask you to back away from the toilet seat. And with that, we're out of here. And when I come back, y'all, I'm going to be like all professional and straight-laced and pulled together, and you won't even recognize me because I want to give a good interview to my next guest. So stay with us.
Shelly here, Belle of all things Southern. Y'all know I love Dixieland, but I'm also a big fan of distressed furniture. And Marouge, Louisiana's newest retail shop features both. The Cotton Bell Market has unique ready-made furniture and the latest in home decor. Owner Bianca Yarbrough will also take special orders to help you create that piece of your dreams. Visit the Cotton Bell Market, 201 West Davenport in Marouge, Louisiana, open 10 to 6 Wednesday through Friday, and tell them Shelley sent you.
Louisiana, do you want a great deal? Talk to Jim Taylor.
He can make it real in a Chevy.
If you're looking for a great selection and a great deal on a certified pre-owned, come to Jim Taylor Chevrolet. We have several in stock. We keep around 150 used vehicles, Tahoe, Suburban, Yukon and Yukon XL, 2 and 4-wheel drive trucks, plus compact mid and full-size cars and 12 and 15 passenger vans. Price, service, and selection is how we put the customer first at Jim Taylor Chevrolet in Ravel.
For over 30 years, Simmons Sporting Goods has been outfitting folks for hundreds of miles. With the biggest in-store selection and original price match guarantee, you know you're getting the best price possible. There's over 70,000 square feet filled with nearly 100 stands, thousands of firearms and bows, an acre of camo. You name it, we've got it. You can even get 12 months same as cash and lunch from our duck blind restaurant. Visit Simmons Sporting Goods in Bastrop, Louisiana or SimmonsSportingGoods.com.
Computer trouble. Don't you hate it? This is Shelley from All Things Southern, and when I have computer issues, I call Wintersmith Computers, your local go-to computer retailer. Let Wintersmith help you find just the right machine, and then take a deep breath and let them keep your systems up and running. Bring your problem in or take advantage of their on-site service. It's the only way this bell rolls. That's Wintersmith Computers, just off I-20 at 4624 Cypress Street in West Monroe. Glad that y'all are hanging around this evening. You are going to be treated to a delightful author and a fantastic book that I want you to run out and just find immediately after the show. Cynthia Rookte tells stories hemmed in hope through her novels, novellas, nonfiction books, articles, and devotionals, drawing from 33 years of on-air radio ministry. Uh-oh, JR, we got that right. She has 33 years of radio ministry.
Isn't that amazing? That's
under
wild.
Her belt. Okay, we're going to have that right. Cynthia has written more than 20 award-winning novels, novellas, nonfiction books, and devotionals. Her books have received numerous awards and nominations. She is a fantastic author, and I am delighted to welcome this author and speaker to All Things Southern Live. Hello, Cynthia.
Hi, Shelley. Hi. Good to talk to you.
It is delightful to have you on. Now, forgive me for not remembering, but I was thinking earlier today that maybe it's been 2 or 3 years, but I think you've been on All Things Southern Live before. Is this true?
I think it was, but I believe it was at least 2 or 3 years ago.
Okay, so we both have stuffed a lot since then, and we both kind of think that you did. So that's...
Yeah.
That's what we know so far.
That's what we know so far.
Cynthia, I'm just delighted to introduce this book to my audience. I read it. I told them a moment ago, literally in one gulp. I mean, my husband, he kept trying to ask me something. He said, baby, you are into that book, aren't you? I mean, I didn't even want to pause and see what it was that he was saying. I was that into this book. It is delightful. Now, instead of me rambling on, why don't you just kind of set it up for our audience? Tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, this A Fragile Hope is a story of a man, Josiah Chamberlain, who really is a much in demand marriage and family expert. He has all kinds of clever quips that he uses, excuse me, to share with his audiences, whether that's a reading audience or when he's speaking to stadiums full of people. And he's talking about his perspectives on how to do relationship repair and things that strengthen relationships. But when he finishes his latest book and he comes downstairs to greet his wife after he's been kind of sequestered away in his office for a while finishing that book, he discovers that his wife has left him. And everything that he assumed about their relationship just disintegrates before his eyes. And there are some medical circumstances that are the reason why his wife can't explain what was in her heart, why she left it all, but it's going to cost him almost everything he has to keep loving her when his career is at stake, his sanity is at stake, his reputation, even his faith, mm-hmm. their marriage. He wonders if their marriage is going to be able to survive this betrayal that has happened. And he goes through a whole journey of trying to discover, even though he seemed to be the expert on love, mm-hmm. What love really looks like. And it's completely different from what he thought it was and what he had been telling other people all these years.
Absolutely. I think what was so fascinating to me was watching his journey that he really undergoes throughout this book. And can we say the condition that his wife is in, or is that going to give away too much?
Well, we can. It gives away kind of a surprising plot twist that the readers, it would be wonderful if they could just discover this.
But, okay, well, we'll let them
do. What we will share is that it prevents her from speaking.
Okay.
And she's not able to communicate with him at all, and yet he's put in a position of needing to care for her and being a caregiver for her and decide if he's going to stand by her side in spite of what it looks like has happened to him, and that everything he believed in is just stripped out from underneath him and ripped out from underneath him. And he, like you say, he goes through a very long process of figuring out who he really is at the core, where their marriage fell apart, and mm-hmm. comes to discover that a lot of it was due to just plain neglect, mm-hmm. which we know can spell death for relationships, whether that's a friendship or a parent and child, or in this case, the marriage relationship.
But watching him and that progress, I mean, I grieved for him. I felt for him. I was angry at him. You know, you had me. All the emotions were all connected with his journey as he went through and made decisions that, you know, many times the way, let's say, an author will portray change, you know, is through dialogue with the other person that's involved. But that is absent. I just don't even know how you did it, because that being absent from the story,
right,
and you just watching just Josiah and his journey and him having to figure it out. And of course, faith comes into it. And thank you for the way you just so beautifully weave the beautiful grace of Christ Jesus through this. But it is surprising, I'll just say that, in and the way that he discovers all those great spiritual truths in his relationship with Christ without anyone overtly hitting him over the head or, you know, preaching to him. It's just beautifully done. And some of it is done by other mentors, while his wife is, you know, like we're saying, is unable to interact with him. Then there are some other people that come in. Can you tell me a little bit about Nancy? I loved Nancy.
Aww, thank you. I loved Nancy too. She was just, she would have called herself such an ordinary woman, mm-hmm. but she was so extraordinary in the way that she was able to really reach Josiah when many other people couldn't. He had mm-hmm. he had kind of stiff-armed all the people who
because
were
he knew it all
and friends, right? And but she was someone who was in his same position. She was watching someone that she cared about very much in kind of the similar medical condition, the similar state, mm-hmm. and the perspective that she had was one that was positive,
absolutely,
and always looking for the best, and she had endurance and patience to spare, and Josiah had very little of that. So
right.
She was kind of sharing her patience with him, and she found these very subtle, in some ways, but very poignant ways to be able to break through his own fog.
Mm-hmm.
His wife Karen was in this fog, but Josiah was as well.
Mm-hmm.
And his heart was kind of encouched in this fog that seemed impenetrable. And Nancy came in as this older mentor woman to really speak into his life in a way that helped him to try to start looking at things from a different perspective. I'm grateful for the people in my life who have been like that, who at various times in my life have served as that mentor voice, helping us,
absolutely,
helping me to understand my circumstances,
absolutely,
in a different light.
But there's no, I'm trying to reach for the word I want, cheesiness. There's no cheesy Nancy.
Mm.
You know, that's what I like. There's no pat answers, no cliche, Christian cliches with Nancy. She's just so real in her advice and the way she grabs his hand and walks him, sometimes forcefully, through some change. I really adore her. Can you tell I want Nancy to have her own story next?
Well, maybe that day will come.
Okay.
I
want more of Nancy. I'm moving it along because my time always runs out on me when I have these fascinating authors. The scripture, you know, Josiah has a moment in the middle of the book that is really, you know, kind of the point where he makes some decisions to react in a certain way. And I know, having read your the information that I received from your publicist, that was tied directly to a scripture that literally birthed this story in your heart. Can you speak to that?
It really did. And when the reader discovers this moment in the story, mm-hmm. I don't think that it will betray their enjoyment of the story to be able to talk about it. But for us right now, but many of us who have gone to church over the years and mm-hmm. participated in communion have heard this very familiar verse from 1 Corinthians 11:23-24. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And we're very familiar with that. And almost sometimes we maybe have taken it for granted, but there was a time in my life where I personally was so deeply moved by the idea, by the recognition of the fact that mm-hmm. it wasn't on a day when everything was going swell. It mm-hmm. wasn't on a day when life was good and
right.
Jesus felt like he was having all kinds of great victories with the people that he cared about, but it was on the very night that he was betrayed that love really had its strongest demonstration through what Jesus did for us. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me wonder, what would that look like in a husband-wife relationship
yeah.
or any other kind of relationship? Can love really show its brightest moment on the night it's betrayed? And that's really what love does. It gives of itself when it makes the least amount of sense.
Well, and you accomplished that. The story that you told, and I'm not blowing smoke when I say that it was so gripping for me that I almost wondered, I think you could use this story in a ladies group format. I really do. I think you are a church group, a prayer group. I think that you could take this to a book club and the spiritual truths that would come out of this book, and much of it for me was from that very turning point that we're talking about with that scripture, that I think could be life-changing. So well done, Cynthia.
Thank you so much, Shelley. I appreciate that.
What is up next? We have just about a minute left here. What's up next for Cynthia?
Well, I have a book coming out in June that's a nonfiction book called As My Parents Age.
Aww.
And it takes us through the good, the bad, the ugly, the funny, the not funny at all,
yeah.
the very trying and the very tender moments of
Aww.
Watching our parents age and that the interaction and how that changes for us and how we can learn to see it as an opportunity rather than an obligation.
Oh, my goodness. I'm there. Loving my parents at that point, and I will be eagerly awaiting that, and I'm just going to elicit a promise from you right now that you'll come back on All Things Southern Live and talk about it.
I will.
Okay. All right. God bless you, Cynthia, and your work. You take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Y'all, I want this book right here to go to the New York Times bestseller list. That's how I feel about it. I want it to sell and sell and sell some more. Please go get it. That's all I got for you.
Shelley here, Belle of All Things Southern. Y'all know I love Dixieland, but I'm also a big fan of distressed furniture. And Marouge, Louisiana's newest retail shop features both. The Cotton Bell Market has unique, ready-made furniture and the latest in home decor. Owner Bianca Yarbrough will also take special orders to help you create that piece of your dreams. Visit the Cotton Bell Market, 201 West Davenport in Marouge, Louisiana, open 10 to 6, Wednesday through Friday, and tell them Shelley sent you.
Louisiana, do you want a great deal? Talk to Jim Taylor.
Can make it real in a Chevy.
If you're looking for a great selection and a great deal on a certified pre-owned, come to Jim Taylor Chevrolet. We have several in stock. We keep around 150 used vehicles, Tahoes, Suburbans, Yukon, and Yukon XL, 2 and 4-wheel drive trucks, plus compact mid and full-size cars and 12 and 15-passenger vans. Price, service, and selection is how we put the customer first at Jim Taylor Chevrolet in Ravel.
For over 30 years, Simmons Sporting Goods has been outfitting folks for hundreds of miles. With the biggest in-store selection and original price match guarantee, you know you're getting the best price possible. There's over 70,000 square feet filled with nearly 100 stands, thousands of firearms and bows, an acre of camo. You name it, we've got it. You can even get 12 months same as cash and lunch from our duck blind restaurant. Visit Simmons Sporting Goods in Bastrop, Louisiana or SimmonsSportingGoods.com.
Computer trouble. Don't you hate it? This is Shelly from All Things Southern, and when I have computer issues, I call Wintersmith Computers, your local go-to computer retailer. Let Wintersmith help you find just the right machine, and then take a deep breath and let them keep your systems up and running. Bring your problem in or take advantage of their on-site service. It's the only way this bell rolls. That's Wintersmith Computers, just off I-20 at 4624 Cypress Street in West Monroe. You've been listening to All Things Southern Live, and that lovely author was Cynthia Rookte, author of A Fragile Hope, along with 20 or 30 other books. But I want you to get A Fragile Hope. It is really that good. It's got a story that will impact you, and you'll want to pass it on as well. All right, folks, we've got a few more things I want to get to before we go off air today. Right now, JR, the internet is either dropping around here or something weird's going on, but I'm going to try to greet some of more of the Facebook people. So if okay. You will let me do that. So hello, Mary Willis Chamberlain and Lee Bradley and Wanda Strickland Robertson. I appreciate y'all. Oh, Lee Bradley says, nice interview, Shelley. Thank you, Lee. I really did want to give her a good interview, so I'm glad that you enjoyed it. I appreciate all of y'all. Hit share and encourage other people to join us on Monday evenings. It's a lot of fun to be with y'all. Oh, and post your pictures for me of all your Easter. I've been looking at Easter pictures all day and enjoying everyone's family. Okay, a few more. Hello, Kathy Spurlock. It's always nice to have you with us. And Sherry Hawthorne, my friend from the Oklahoma Panhandle. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you did that. We sometimes mention the different states because it gets fun as we list all the states. And I haven't done that today, but there's Oklahoma and there's Texas weighing in right up underneath her with Marietta. Hi, Marietta. Hope Mills is from Lake Providence, and she says hi as well. And then a lot of you other – I always try to stop, and then I can't because I don't want to leave anybody out. So hello, Cecilia Mosley and Sherry Hudson Hill and Jeffrey Boy. Jeffrey Boyett says, I forgive you for not answering the phone last night.
Whoa.
Jeff, I was in the middle of something and I meant to call you back. I really did. I meant to call you back. I'll call you later. That was funny.
You
should be careful what you're reading on air before you read it, right, Jeff? He got me. He got me back. All right, folks. And I think I didn't say, oh, Shauna, did I say hello to you? Hello, Shauna. All right. Now, the rest of y'all just leave your comments and I'll read them later. But right now, the time is ticking away and I want to do a couple things. First, I want to tell the website readers that I really did intend to update the website and send out a newsletter over the weekend, but the lovely chaos began, so I got the website updated, and the newsletter hasn't gone out. So if you're missing your newsletter, just run to allthingssouthern.com, and you'll find your latest recipe, your chat, and your comfort right there. I know it's not as good as being in their email box, JR, but it's close.
It's close.
I mean, it's close. Yeah.
It gets there.
It's close. You just have to make one more little click.
Y'all
can do that. Okay. How about an inspirational feature to go into your work week? I've got that story right here. And this one tickles me because it begins, JR, with a joke.
Oh, that's always good.
And it's the jokester that I love so much. But, okay, first the joke. Quick, JR.
The joke. Quick. Okay.
How do you get a baby to sleep in outer space?
Give
up, y'all. Give up.
I give up. I have no idea.
You rock it. Get it? Rocket. R-O-C-K-E-T. Okay, so it's all funnier right. if you're a grandmother and the person who made the joke up all by himself is your oldest grandson, Grant Thomas. Then it's a lot funnier. Grant Thomas has long loved sports and music and art. He's like a Renaissance young man. But these days, he is also enjoying writing and illustrating his own joke books.
He's going to be a jokester before you know it.
The apple doesn't fall very far from the tree, does it?
It doesn't.
Right? As of this day and time, Grant has not discovered the endless variations of the old joke, you know, that starts with, how many people does it take? You know, like how many people does it take to screw in a light bulb?
Right.
How many people, yeah, all of those. He hasn't discovered that formula yet, but I'm figuring that he will soon, and then we'll get a Grant spin on it. Right now, in the spirit of that old joke, I want to pose a question for you and I and everyone else listening. So, are y'all ready? Here we go. How many people does it take to change another person? Give up? Not enough. There are not enough people in the world to change another person. Yeah, that's tough, but that's true. Regardless of how many people try to change another person, it will never be enough. We simply can't change each other. We can inspire, we can encourage, we can threaten, we can warn, we can motivate, but only Jesus can change a soul. So what's the problem? Well, here it is. That seems to not stop us. Knowing that, and we all do, that we can't change another person, it seldom stops us from trying to mold other people and trying to manipulate circumstances to where other people change. But perhaps you could understand that better if I used a personal pronoun. Maybe that would sit better with you. Okay, I confess. I've done it. That's me raising my hand. I've done it. I have fumed and I have fretted over people and situations that never change. And I'm still susceptible to doing that right now today. But I'm learning, y'all. I am learning that I can let my emotions over that unchanging person or that unchanging situation get the best of me. Or I can take that unchanging person or unchanging situation to God and ask him to teach me how to think about it, to teach me how to respond to it. And here's the foot stomping good news. When I choose the second choice, when I choose instead of being frustrated because it never changes, if I choose to take that unchanging problem to the good Lord, he always, always changes me. And I get to experience more of him in the process. If y'all don't shout, I might have to. Think about it. That means the person or the thing that we want to change so badly, but doesn't, that can be a catalyst for our discovering more of God, or it can be our excuse for all the ugly that we do and think and say. The choice is ours. And we make it repeatedly. And that's no joke. That was for Grant Thomas. That's no joke. It's been fun, folks. JNR and I are both going to slip out of here early tonight. We both have appointments right after this, so I'm going to bid y'all farewell a minute or two early. That's JR over there on the board. And this is Shelly. And I am delighted each and every Monday to share this hour with y'all. It honors me when you take time to join me. And when you leave me a comment, I always read them. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. I want to speak a blessing over you. That's what I want to do. May the love of God and the grace of Christ Jesus and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. This is Shelly with Hugs for All.